This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello and welcome to LabCast. I'm Kevin Kane, and today I'm joined by Jim Logan to talk about go-to-market strategies. Jim's the founder of a company called SalesKick and leads its sales coaching consulting projects. His specialty is taking complex business products and services and making them easy to understand. His professional background includes selling and leading teams that have sold tens of millions of dollars worth of high-tech products and services to Fortune 100 clients and regional businesses alike. Jim, thanks so much for joining us today. How's it going?
Hey, it's going great, and thank you very much for having me. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, so as I mentioned in my introduction, what we really want to do today is talk about go-to-market strategies. And so can we start off by getting your definition of what you think go-to-market is?
Yeah, you know, to me, go-to-market is just all the things that we have to do as a business, sales, and marketing organization to take our products and services out into defined market spaces. So I've always looked at it from the perspective of what is that plan? Who are we going to target? How are we going to target them? How are we going to communicate the value of the products and services that we have to offer? And how are we going to integrate that entire sales and marketing effort?
Right. And so my understanding has been that there's always been a certain amount of divide between sales and marketing. And so how do you see go-to-market transcending that?
Yeah, and I would agree with you. I think there often is a divide. I think a lot of it is just where there becomes this common understanding of what we're trying to achieve. So I think a lot of the divisions that happen between sales and marketing is where the marketing organization is out doing one thing and trying to produce a lead or communicate a story or try to create an opportunity within a market space. And then there's this vague handoff now of what is loosely defined as a lead kicked over the fence to the sales organization. And there really just isn't that continuity between the two groups. So I think from a go-to-market strategy perspective, it's the sales and marketing organization really being on that same script where, you know, there's this common understanding of who the target audience is. There's a good understanding, not just of the things we do, but the things that we do for our target audience. And so as the marketing organization is promoting the story, the sales organization's in sync with that to continue that dialogue as now they engage with opportunities and, with qualified leads and sales opportunities.
Right. So it sounds to me like there's definitely some synergies that can be, derived there. And what I'm wondering is, how does it help a company stay focused if they've got a go-to-market strategy?
Yeah, I think the focus is really just in that plan. It's a thoughtful event, so it's looking beyond the internal view of the products and services that we offer, and really from an organizational perspective, looking at it more from the outside in. So to give an example, a lot of companies take this internal view of their speeds, feeds, features, and functionality, as I often like to say, and they go out and try to promote those things within a market space. Where I think when you look at it from my perspective of a go-to-market strategy, we really look at it in the reverse view from the target audience back into our company and say, okay, what do these speeds, feeds, features, and functionality actually do for me? And then that really becomes then our story that we're taking to a market. And that's the story that the sales organization is picking up on.
Well, that's really interesting. Now, if we kind of take it a step further and say, all right, let's assume I've bought into this idea of wanting to have a go-to-market strategy because it makes a lot of sense. How would I actually go about doing it? Because I imagine there's some real challenges in putting it together.
Yeah, I think some of the challenges are really around developing what I refer to as a core story, and that certainly is by no means a term that I've coined. You know, there's a lot of talk about core stories or unique selling propositions are relatively close to that, but it's where a company looks at, you know, who are they really targeting and what are the real things that they do for the clients that they have, and separating that from the things they do. And through that, what they do is they find a way to communicate with people at a level where their features and functionality really are proof, demonstrable proof, that benefits can now exist. So if I'm talking to you, if you're a target audience, and if I have a product or service that I believe you can consume, instead of me talking to you about the product or service, I should really be talking to you about the things that you can do with it to achieve something meaningful within your business. And then I introduced all these speeds, features, and functionality as things that enable advantages and that benefit to exist. So it's just changing my conversation a little bit. And within a go-to-market strategy, I think that becomes really important because it just brings focus to what are we really trying to achieve in the marketplace? You know, what really is that value that we're trying to bring to our target audience?
Right. And are there any other sort of specific tips that you could offer our listeners who are trying to put together their go-to-market strategy?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's along the same vein is to really think through the things you offer and really try to identify how people use them. And then become very well versed in talking about those things. And let me give you a real quick example that hopefully will make it a little more tangible. In my professional history as a sales manager, a sales executive, I used to have lots of sales training organizations contact me to try to train my staff. And a very common way that I was always approached is with the features and functionality of a training program. So, you know, our training program has X number of days. We've taught Y number of organizations. We have a patented 12-step type process to training. We give this type of follow-on support. Our instructors have this type of background, et cetera. And that's really telling me all about the program, but it's not telling me about what I want to get out of it. So the worldview I have is not to train my staff, although I value training and their professionalism, but I have a worldview that's based more around the length of my sales cycle, my close ratio, average transaction values, and quota attainment. So really, I think what would be more appropriate in this example would be for training companies to approach me that way. So it's not about the training program, but it's about how that training program could shave maybe 30 days off of an average 180-day sales cycle, or how, you know, clients that have used their training program have increased their average transaction values by 15%. And so what happens is that worldview is the worldview I live in. They need to map their training program into that worldview and then use their 12-step program or use their knowledge base or their follow-on support as proof that I can achieve, you know, these things that I'm concerned about. So my tip to companies is to really try to become very well versed in the way people use your products and services to achieve something meaningful in their business, and then become well versed in talking about that, and then introduce your product and services and the speeds, features, and functionality as demonstrable proof that you can deliver that meaningful thing.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Absolutely. Jim, I really want to thank you for being with us today. Before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you how our listeners could get in touch with you if they're interested.
Yes, and thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed the opportunity. For all your listeners, you can find me at saleskick.me. That's one word, saleskick.me. And you could also find us on Twitter at saleskick.
Great. Jim, thanks again. Good talking to you.
Thank you.